The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Open our ears to your word, our hearts to your call, and help us to follow you today. Amen. The other day, I was at a gas station, and there was a bit of a line, so I'm standing in the back of the line and started to look around me and pay attention and really notice what I was looking at. There are a lot of different flavors of fried pork rinds. There are squishy pastry things in colors never seen in nature. If you look down the candy aisle, there's a veritable Noah's Ark of gummy creatures. Rosemary Kent, in the Genuine Texas Handbook, talks about the junk food that is enjoyed by Texans. I was surprised by some of these. Peanuts in Dr. Pepper, that's a thing. Beef jerky, moon pies, corn dogs, nothing wrong with a corn dog every once in a while. Cream gravy poured over white bread dotted with ketchup and cut into small pieces. Frito pie, pickled pig's feet, jalapeno stuffed olives, and hot dip made with Rotel tomatoes and Velveeta cheese. I've made that. So I'm going to treat that one gently. It can be debatable whether something that we put in our mouths qualifies as junk food or not. But we can all agree that some foods are healthy and offer our bodies the nutrition we need. And other foods may fill our bellies, but can't really sustain us in the long run. Just like our bodies require good food, our soul requires good nourishment as well. We need to feed our souls so that we can face adversity and difficulty and pain and sorrow and have the strength to make it through. I was thinking about this as we approach Holy Week. As we sing Hosanna, all glory, laud, and honor, wave our palms, and celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, there's a part of us that knows this isn't going to end well for him. And it's important that we begin to fill our souls, to nurture and nourish ourselves as we walk through his betrayal, arrest, torture, crucifixion, and death. We need to be spiritually strong. Reverend Holly McKissick tells a story about being on a tour in the West Bank. And she writes about an experience that she and some others had of sitting around a lovely wooden table in a sun-drenched room with Christian author and activist Jean Zaroo. And Jean was sharing her rich experience and faith along with some cookies and fruit. And Jean knew that by the midpoint in the trip that these pastors were on, they would have had their fill of bad things, from suicide bombers to disputed settlements. Holly writes, "So she broke open her heart and preached. Hope, she said, is an act of resistance. There's nothing abstract about it. Hope is not real until you bring it into your life and test it and prove it. Some people may say I am less because I am Palestinian and a woman. No, God dwells in my soul. And because of that, I see God in everyone, brother and sister, Christian and Muslim and Jew. I do not worship a God who makes good ones and bad ones." Jean was part of a community that was shattered by war. And war is the worst junk food for the soul. She found hope in her Muslim sisters. Even as though she was Christian, she connected with her Muslim sisters in Gaza, and they chose to fill their souls with nourishing words and actions. In the face of all of the ruin of war, they each picked up a stone and began to rebuild. We look around at our world, at a political environment that does nothing but drain our spirits, at a country where children have to fight to protect themselves against gun violence because the adults in the room who were elected to protect them won't do it, where we are afraid to open packages found on our doorstep. You know that the list goes on. Like junk food in a convenience store, bad news is everywhere. And consuming it, filling ourselves up with it in excess, will make us sick. We look inside ourselves and find that more often than we would like, we are using words like exhausted, empty, burned out when we describe ourselves. The Apostle Paul understood this dilemma. He knew that the early church in Philippi needed encouragement, needed to be reminded to nourish their souls. So he offered them these words in his letter. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. The peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. I find that amazing when I think about what I witness in the news and in the paper and all around us. God knows we need spiritual nourishment. And God offers it to us. God offers it to us if we simply partake. And I think that's why Palm Sunday has become such an important day in the life of the church, because it fills us up. It's one of the most joyful scenes in Scripture. People are running into Jerusalem, waving their palm branches, leading Jesus on with shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna. Imagine it, children running everywhere, people laughing, shouting for joy, and celebrating. We all know that laughter and singing and time with people who love us fills us up, heals us, changes our outlook on whatever situation we may find ourselves in. That is what was happening that day on that journey into Jerusalem. We know that there is bad news coming down the road this week. Jesus, our rabbi, our bringer of grace, will die. Those hosannas will all too soon turn to shouts of crucify him. But for now, for a few more minutes, sing Hosanna. Fill up on good things. Nourish your soul. The Apostle Paul writes, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Whatever is just, whatever is commendable, let these good things nourish your soul. Let this nourishment fill us up. Bring hope to life. Amen.